Amen. All right, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. I think I'm all here. It's kind of somewhere, I think it's at home. But now on. All right, we're glad to be here tonight in the house of the Lord. We're glad that you're here this evening. And we're looking forward to what God might do for us tonight. If we'll be obedient to Him and we'll obey, God wants to do something for us tonight. Amen.
Amen.
I want to ask you tonight to take the Bibles, if you would please, and I want you to turn with us tonight, if you would please, over to the book of Leviticus tonight. The book of Leviticus tonight. Got kind of an unusual message that the Lord gave me some time ago. I preached at our church, and the Lord spoke to my heart through it. I hope you speak to your heart through it tonight. I want you to find two places in the book of Job, chapter 10 and verse number 14, and the book of Leviticus tonight, the book of Leviticus chapter 19 tonight. Book of Leviticus chapter 19. All right, if you found your place there tonight, we're going to read tonight verse 28 of Leviticus chapter 19 first tonight. Verse number 28, Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 28. The Bible said, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." Now look over in Job, if you would, chapter 10, verse number 14. Job 10, verse 14. The Bible said, "If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from my iniquities." Let's pray. Father, we come to you this evening. We thank you, Lord, to be able to be in the house of the Lord on a Monday night. Thank you for these good folk that have come out tonight to be here on Monday night in revival. Lord, I know that there's been prayers set up today for this service. Oh God, as we come just now, we yield ourselves and our bodies a living sacrifice unto Thee. And I pray, Lord, you take these lips of clay. It'll be my lips speaking, but I pray it'll be your word coming through it.
Listen, Lord.
God, we pray that you'd touch our hearts tonight. There's people here that's lost, and they need to be saved. But Lord, there's a whole lot more of us that's been saved, and we need to be reminded of what the Lord's done for us and how marvelous it is that we can say tonight with a surety in our heart that we're saved and our sins have been forgiven. Lord, give us liberty tonight, I pray, to preach the Word of God. And I pray you touch our heart as we preach. And Lord, help us to be humble tonight, because we realize that all of us in this building tonight, that unless we get humble tonight, Lord, at some thought of God or, Lord, some burden that burdens our heart, that, Lord, you'll not be able to bless us tonight, because the Bible said you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. Help us tonight, Lord, and we'll thank you. We promise to give you all the praise, because we know that we can do nothing, but, Lord, you can do it all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The book of Leviticus tonight is to the book of Exodus what the epistles are to the Gospels. Now, what I mean by that is the book of Exodus, if you know your Bible tonight, the book of Exodus is the book of redemption. Israel came out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt and God delivered them with the blood of the lamb that was placed on the doorpost. And they came out of Egypt and God opened up the Red Sea. They were redeemed from the slavery and the bondage of Egypt. And Leviticus is the book that follows Exodus. And it is to Exodus what the epistles are to the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. They tell us about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They repeat the old story over and over again in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They tell us how to be saved. They tell us why we can be saved.
Amen.
We can be saved because of believing the gospel.
Right.
And the gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ died for our sins and that He rose for our justification.
Amen.
And so the epistles follow that tonight. And once we're saved, those epistles tell us how to walk with God and how to serve God and how to worship God. And that's why He's given us these epistles here. And so we see here tonight in the book of Leviticus tonight in this 28th verse there tonight, we see where the Bible said, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor put any marks upon your body. I am the Lord." Now let me say tonight, and please don't miss this. If you do, you'll misinterpret me when you go out the door.
Listen, Lord.
I'm preaching tonight on how a tattoo is like sin. Not how it is sin, but how a tattoo is like sin. Or I might call this message, Jesus can remove your mark. Jesus can remove your mark. Now, as we look here tonight, I want to be honest in this. The book of Leviticus is the law and the rules given for that Jewish people. You see tonight in verse 27 there, before verse 28, He said, "You're not to round the corners of your head, neither shalt thou mar the corner of your beard." That means like my hair is rounded around the bottom here. He told those Jews, "You're not supposed to do that." We realize that this is Old Testament, that it's written to the Jews. And I'm not preaching tonight on the fact, again, I want to state this, I'm not preaching upon the fact tonight that your tattoo is sin. I'll let you and God work that out.
Amen.
But I'm preaching tonight on how that is like sin.
Amen.
You see tonight in Leviticus chapter 13, we have a type of something like this. In Leviticus 13, if you have a Scofield Bible tonight, or any study Bible, it probably says right over the chapter, verse 13, it'll say leprosy, a type of sin. That's what this old Scofield Bible says there. It says leprosy is a type of sin. Now listen to this. Leprosy wasn't a sin. Leprosy was not a sin. It was a disease. It was a sickness. But yet it was a type of sin. When we study leprosy tonight, we find there in Leviticus 13, we find that it's like sin in the fact that leprosy was in the blood.
Amen.
It was in the blood. In other words, the Bible says, by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, because death had passed upon all men, because all men have sinned. There's something wrong with our blood. That's why we needed Jesus to come. And there was nothing wrong with His blood. It was the precious, perfect blood of the Lamb of God. And it's what we needed to help us tonight and to get saved and to have our sins forgiven. And so we see that leprosy was in the blood. And then I'll tell you this about leprosy. Leprosy was incurable to man.
Amen.
No man could cure leprosy. Can I tell you that no man can cure sin except the man Christ Jesus? Not only that, but we see that leprosy would affect the countenance of a person. The longer they had it, the more it would affect the countenance of them and how they looked and how they appeared. Can I tell you that sin's like that? Sin will change the appearance and the countenance of somebody. I've seen young people grow up in the church, and I mean good, godly young people grow up in the church, but then get out in sin and stay out in sin a while. And then when they come back, their countenance has changed, and they don't look the same because of what sin has done. Let me say this, that leprosy only grew worse. It never got better. It only grew worse. Now I want to say tonight that sin only grows worse. Nobody ever made a success of sin. It always gets worse, the Bible said. Now, as we get over to chapter 14 of Leviticus, it tells about the healing of that leopard, and it gives us a picture of salvation. And the first thing we notice in chapter 14 is that we notice that that leopard, that all he could do was confess that I am a leopard. That's all he could do.
Amen.
The Bible said that when that leopard would come out, he'd have to say, "Leopard, leopard, leopard." And all he could do was just confess that he was a leopard. That's all he could do. Can I tell you that all the poor, fallen, benighted sinners, that all they can do, all they can do is confess, "I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I deserve hell. I need to go to hell. I'm worthy of hell." All they can do is confess they're a sinner and then accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, that he paid for our sins, and by faith believing that, that's all that a sinner can do. But we notice this, we notice that the priest, there in chapter 14, the Bible said that the priest would go forth out of the camp. The priest would go to the leopard. The leopard didn't come to the priest. The priest would go to the leopard. You say, "What's that mean, Brother Rick? I couldn't go to him." But thank God he came to me. He came to where that I was. Can I tell you that leprosy, the cure involved blood? There in chapter 14, they'd take two birds, two living birds. But one of those birds, one of those birds was killed. And then take the blood of that bird that was tied to a piece of cedar, representing the cross, representing Christ dying on the cross, and giving his blood for us. And they would take that living bird, and they would put the water, the word, and they'd put that blood on that living bird, and then they'd let it go free. That had to do with the cleansing of the leopard. The cure involved the blood. Let me say this, that it involved faith. That leopard had to believe that the priest could help him. He had to be willing to do what the priest asked him to do. God cannot help any sinner that will not do what that sinner, what God tells the sinner to do. Oftentimes you'll hear preachers in our day make this statement. They'll say, "God will save anybody." That's a partial truth. God will save anybody that comes to God his way. If you don't come his way, he will not and he cannot save you unless you come his way. What is his way, Brother Rick? The Bible said it's grace through faith, by believing upon him, the Bible said. And so we look at this tonight and we see here that leprosy was not a sin. Sometimes people got leprosy because they sinned. You remember the sister of Moses and how that she was struck with leprosy because she spoke out against the man of God. You remember there at the altar where that man spoke out against the prophet of God. There was leprosy. So we see that leprosy was not sin, but sometimes people got leprosy because of their sin. You realize, I believe this is a very timely message for our day. Please don't cut me off until you hear all the message tonight. I want to say tonight that some 10 million Americans have at least one tattoo. At least 10 million Americans have at least a one. You can't go anywhere that you don't see somebody with one or two or sometimes many. Now remember, I'm not saying that's sin. I'm saying that's a type of sin. And brother, you can't go anywhere that you don't see men sinning even more or less. Sin is like it's getting like it was in the days of Noah. It seems like that men's hearts are continually evil and they're sinning more and more and more every day. But here's the message tonight. I'm preaching tonight on how that a tattoo is like sin, or Jesus can take away your mark. And I want you to think about this tonight. First of all, why people get one to start with? Why do people get a tattoo? Well, Let's face it tonight, first of all, God never made our body to be a punching board or a drawing board. The Bible said that our body tonight is a temple of the Holy Ghost. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9 and 20. But you know why people get them things most of the time? Why? It's the same reason people sin and get involved in sin. You say, what is that preacher tonight? Well, I'm going to say, first of all, it's enticement. In other words, they've seen somebody else with one. And if they hadn't seen somebody else with one, they wouldn't have wanted one. They wouldn't have got one. Can I tell you that's the way sin started? Look back in Genesis 3. And I want to show you something there that I don't think I'd ever noticed before that God gave me this message. But in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6, the devil had showed up. He had been talking to the woman. And the Bible says there, when the woman saw, in verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now here's what I want you to see. It said when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. In other words, she saw, and then she hadn't eaten yet. She did after she saw. I believe with all my heart that old devil was standing over there with that food, and he was eating it, and he was saying, look how good this is. Boy, this tastes good. And when she saw that the tree was good, she saw somebody else doing it, then I believe that she did that. Amen. You know why that people do that? Well, you know, sometimes they do it because they think it'll make them prettier. Sometimes people get involved in sin for that kind of reason. Sometimes people do it because that they think it'll make them look cool. Some people do it for the way because they think it'll make them look bad. Amen. They do it to somehow identify themselves with one thing or the other. Used to, the only thing you'd ever see anybody with a tattoo, all they'd ever see was the Marines or the Army, and they done it because of patriotism, and God knows we could use some of that today. Amen. But I want you to know, my friend, they done that to identify themselves in some way or the other. I seen a guy one time down at the jail, Wayne. I was going in there, and the guy was there, and he had on his arm, he had tattooed on his arm, born to lose. And I began to talk to him, and he said, preacher, I'm a loser. I was born to lose. I said, well, you may have been born to lose, but you can be born again to win. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. But he identified himself as a loser. Amen. I got a good preacher friend, and he told me this story. He said, Brother Rick, he said, when I was a young boy, we grew up rough, and I mean rough, and on the wrong side of the tracks. He said, I got to date this little girl, about 13 or 14 year old, and he said, I thought I'd love her for life. He said, I thought that we'd always be sweethearts. He said, I went down, and he said, I didn't have money to get it done really good. And I had a guy that didn't know what he was doing, put that woman's name on my arm. They went on 20, 30 years later. They got married. They went their separate ways. He said, about 20 or 30 years later, he said, I saw that woman, and he said, she was the ugliest woman I've ever seen in my life. He said, I went down to the doctor's office. I said, Doc, get this ugly woman's name off my arm. Amen. And you say, what are you saying? I'm saying that sometimes when people get them, they're going to wish somewhere down the road they hadn't have got them. And isn't that like sin? You know, a lot of people get involved in sin, and then somewhere down the road, they wish they hadn't have got involved in sin. They tell me at the prisons that each gang has its own mark, and they identify each other in the prisons and in the inner cities by the mark that they have upon them. You see tonight that tattoo, sometimes it's a thing of pride. It's a thing that of pride. God hates pride. The Bible said that she took of that fruit because she then desired to be made wise. She wasn't satisfied with what God had made her. The Bible said she took of that fruit and she desired to be wise. You see, the tattoo is in the flesh. That's where it's at. But it's not really in the flesh. It's beneath the flesh. It's beneath. The problem's not on the outside. The problem's deeper than that. The problem is not the fact somebody's got a mark. The problem is it's a mark deeper than that. And that's where the real problem comes in. Paul said, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Amen. And so we look at this and we see people and we think, well, sometimes we pass judgment. We shouldn't because we don't know for sure. But sometimes we look at people only on the outward appearance. But the problem is not the outward problem. The problem's the inward problem that sometimes works its way to an outward problem. Amen. So we look at this tonight and I just see how that this thing is like sin in the fact that people do it because they see somebody else do it. Amen. You know what a fellow told me? I preached this not too long ago, and a fellow come to me about a week later. He said, "Brother Rick," he said, "I've been thinking about your sermon all week." I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "You know what, Brother Rick?" He said, "Nobody ever come over to this church that comes here and write ugly words on the building or put ugly signs or symbols on the building." And he said, "Yet, Brother Rick," he said, "sometimes saved people put stuff like that on their body, and their body is the temple. Their body is the temple of the Holy Ghost." I said, "Well, brother, that's something to think about, isn't it?" But look here, I want you to see not only why they do this is like sin, but I want you to see how they deal with it's like sin. I believe in observing people's actions and people that go this round and go this way. I've always noticed this, that nobody starts out doing their whole body, Brother Eddie. They usually start out with a little one.
Yeah.
And they usually put it somewhere where you can't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll put it, and you know, they'll bend over somewhere in their shirt and raise up. There it is.
Amen.
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 They put it down here and their britches rise up and there it is. They put it somewhere where it can't be seen. They don't start out with it just out in an open place. Isn't that like sin? People don't usually start out with a big sin. They start out with a little thing. You think about when you want to plunge this world into the shape it's in tonight. Was a bite, one bite out of a forbidden fruit. A little thing plunged all of this world into where that we are tonight. I want to say tonight it starts out small. Sin always starts out small. A little word, a little look, a little act. It always starts out with something small. I think about Achan when he went down there. And there was just a little glance. And then he saw that Babylonian garment. And one thing led to another. That's the way sin always is, my friend. I think in our society we don't hear much about sin, but it's still real. And God still punishes for it. And it still does what James said it do. He said, "Let no man say when I'm tempted of God." Because God cannot be tempted with evil, but neither tempted any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And he says, "And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brother." I saw a little drawing, a little comedy thing like you see in the paper there. And this guy's talking on the phone. And he's got his shirt off and he's talking on the phone. And in the next caption, you see up the woman he's talking to on the phone. And he says, "Mary," he says, "we just can't get married yet." He said, "I've got something I've got to get off my chest before we get married." And then when you look down his chest, he's got tattooed across there, "I love Sue." That's got to go before he marries Mary. Amen. What I'm saying saying is, sometimes people do things that they regret, and you'll always regret sin. I tell you, I can't look back in my life and see one place or one time where that I'm sinned, and I'm glad I did, and I'm happy about it. Nobody's ever made better by sin. No. The Bible says that sin is like that. It starts out small. They try to hide it. I had a good friend, preacher friend, Wayne knew him. He preached several revivals at our church. Brother Eddie knew him. Our preacher Carl Nelson. What a great preacher Brother Nelson was. He was a drunk down in Irwin, Tennessee. I preached a lot down around Irwin. And I talked to people on the street. And I'd say, you know Carl Nelson. They said, you mean Knifey Nelson? Because before he got saved, he was a drunk. He'd get in fights and cut people up. But one night, Carl walked into a church in the wintertime. It was cold, and he was outside. It was cold, and they were having services at the Irwin, First Church of Irwin Baptist Church. And Brother Carl walked in there and sat down on the bank. And he said, the first time in my life, Brother Rick, I ever heard the gospel. I ever heard the good news. Christ loved me and died for me, and I could be saved. And Carl made his way down to the altar that night and prayed through, and God blessed him, and he was saved by the grace of God. I became a great evangelist. And as far as I know, he never went backward on God. He always pressed forward. But I noticed that Carl would always wear a long sleeve shirt, even in the summertime. 100-degree weather, he'd always have on a long sleeve shirt. And I asked him about it one day, and he was in the Marines for many years of the Navy, and he said, well, Brother Rick, he said, I'm not proud of this, and he pulled his sleeves up, and from there all the way up, they were just solid marks upon his arm, and he said, Brother Rick, he said, I wished I hadn't have done that, but I did, and he said, I can't afford to get them taken off, but it's something now that I regret, he said, but what I'm saying tonight is this, that sin is always something you regret. Remember, I want to tell you this. They're not cheap.
That's right.
I mean, I've never priced them. But I looked and see what I could find. And they said them people who do that get anywhere from $15 to $100 an hour. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, well, that's pretty pricey. Amen. And I tell you, what I'm saying there is sin is costly.
That's right.
Boy, it costs you to sin. It might cost you half of your life for one sin.
That's right.
It might cost you, my friend, half of the money you got for one sin.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, worse than the money, worse than half of your life. It might cost you an eternity in hell.
Yeah.
The Bible said the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm just saying tonight that I see a type here in our day. We don't have leprosy in our day, not where we live. But I see a type here in this market of the body that is also a type of sin. Amen. Can I tell you, it's dangerous. I will be honest tonight, and most of the time there's never a problem with having one most of the time. But I did find out there is some cases. I read of one case where a 23-year-old girl, after getting one on Friday, began to run a fever on Sunday and died on Monday because of a septic shock that she got in her body because of the contamination of the ink and things that they used. And I'm saying that to say this, sin is dangerous. You might get by with it, so to speak, once or twice or three times, but brother, you won't get by with it every time. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. You say, what's that mean? That means because a police officer don't catch you the first time you go, you get drunk. He don't catch you the first time you're drag racing 100 miles an hour, and so you're more tend to do it again. I tell you, the best thing ever happened to anybody is to get caught the first time they see it. I get in trouble the a merciful God. Amen. Right. Now I want to say this tonight. Here's my main message tonight. Not only is this like sin, not only is it like sin because of why people do it, not only is it like sin because of how people deal with it when they do it. They try to hide it. They're ashamed of it. They're embarrassed by it. They have to pay for it. Well, here's the good news. There's a way they're removed. I said this sermon title was Jesus Can Take Away Your Mark. Job said, if I sin, he marks them. He marks them. And when you read that over there in the book of Job, when you read that, he says, if I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from my iniquity. It sounds like he won't forgive you, but that's not what it means. What it means is if you sin and you don't get forgiveness, God will punish you. God will let no sin get by without having to be paid for. Either you pay for it or Jesus pays for it on the cross. But sin will have to be paid for by somebody. Amen. That's why people have to go to hell and stay forever. Because if the sin debt's so high, they can't ever pay for it. You see that old song that says the old account was settled, and there's a line in there that said, I was always sinning and never able to pay.
Right.
You see, the debt was growing higher and bigger because we all sin every day. Every day.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I don't believe people sin every day. Well, I'll tell you what will make a believer out of you. You go down to the dollar store and buy you a dollar tablet, and then you get you a concordance or a Franklin Bible, and you type in sin, and then you write in that tablet everything that God says is sin, and you won't only think we sin every day, you'll probably think we sin every hour, amen. But thank God there's a holy God in heaven that never had sinned, and he came down to die for our sin, and he took my sins, amen. The cross, and he took his sinless life, his perfect life, and he put that on my account, thank God. That's why I'm saved tonight. It's not because of what I've done or what I'm going to do, but thank God because he died for my sins. He paid for them, and I accept that payment for my sins. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, that that mark can be removed. And I tell you that time will change the way that thing looks. Do you know that?
Amen.
Yes, sir. You got one right here. If you live to be about 8 or 9, it's going to be right here.
Amen.
Amen. Can you imagine how some of these here folks are going to look when they get about 7 to 8 years old? My goodness. Let me ask you something. Have you ever looked at somebody that spent their whole life in sin? God's been merciful to them and they lived 80 or 90 years in sin. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying that sin will, over time, will change the way you look over time. I tell you, that dope will make over time, it'll make that glaze look in a person's eyes. That alcohol will make that red face in a person's eye, a person's face. And that's what the Bible says. If I sin, it'll mark me, amen. It'll mark me. And so we look here, but all, thank God. You know, you can take them things off. Yes, sir. You can take them off, but it's costly. A 1-inch tattoo to be taken off completely the right way takes about 12 treatments and can cost up to $900 to remove one inch tattoo. You say, what are you saying, Brother Rick? I'm saying sin can be removed.
Yeah.
But it's costly.
That's right.
Bless you, Lord.
It's costly. You say, what do you mean it's costly? It cost God his son.
That's right.
for me to have my sins removed.
Right.
1 Peter 1:18, the Bible said we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Oh yes, it's costly. Amen.
Right.
But let me tell you something tonight. You say, well, Brother Rick, if it costs that much, how could somebody, I saw a man today, I had to go to the medical center to visit one of our people, and I stopped to get him a bite to eat, and there was a gentleman coming down, and I tell you that he was covered, everything I could see was a mark on his body, and I looked at him today there, and you might say, well, Brother Rick, if it costs $900 to remove a 1-inch tattoo, how in the world could somebody like that, that's got them all over their body, ever be able to afford to have all those removed? You know what I found out in studying? I found out that there were some doctors across the country, and they're called merciful doctors. And they see somebody that has got into that, and now they regret it. And you know what they do? They bring them in, and they take them off at their own expense. Glory to God. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, there's a merciful doctor, praise God, that's willing to come. Let me tell you something, to get them took off, if you do it right, it requires a physician.
Amen.
I want you to understand, Jesus is the great physician, praise God, and he's a merciful physician. He's willing to remove the mark and pay the cost himself. I say 3 cheers for Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, listen tonight. You say, well, how do I do it, Brother Rick? Well, you've got to have a physician. And it's costly, so you need one of them merciful physicians.
Amen.
But here's how it's done. It takes a special light.
Amen.
Glory to God. All the laser light. You know what that laser light does? It gets down beneath the skin.
Yeah.
You see, the problem's not on the outside.
Right.
Nobody's going to hell because they're marked up on the outside. They go to hell because they're marked up on the inside. I'll tell you, it ain't that outside mark that's going to send you to hell. It's that inside mark that Job talked about and said, if I sin, he'll mark me. Amen. You say, how's that laser light work, Brother Rick? Well, I just want you to know that the Bible said the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want you to know the Bible said that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing sunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, under certain of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You say, what's that mean, Brother Rick? That means that light gets in under. It gets down there deep. It gets down there where the problem is. Jesus said, the problem is not what you put in your body. He said it's not what goes in the body that defiles the body. But he said, out of the heart perceiveth murders and adulteries and fornication and all these things. The problem's on the inside of the mind. And thank God he takes that ground of the Word of God. You see what happens, Brother Rick? He begins to break up that thing. He begins to break it up into different pieces and particles. And that thing gets broke up. You say, what happens then, Brother Rick? I'm so glad you asked. Because once that light gets it broke up, then the white blood cells, the blood, it rushes there to where that is. And it takes that particles and washes them away. I say, glory to God tonight. I'm glad, hallelujah. I say tonight, I'm going to pay myself. I'm glad the light of the Word of God. I'm glad it got them believed. I'm glad it broke up the sin. I'm glad the precious red, royal red blood of Jesus has washed them away in the sea of forgiveness to be remembered no more against me. Praise God. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You know, some of you's like me. You say, what do you mean? Well, you looked at people that's got them marks all over their body. I mean, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Everywhere you look, they're marked. Everywhere you look, they're marked. And you've looked at them, and I've looked at them. Sometimes we've looked at them, and been looking at them. We prejudged them. We made them justice. We've already tagged them and marked them for hell. But you know what? I got to look and try to find a picture for this message of somebody that had been covered with them marks all over their body. And then they found one of them merciful physicians, Josh, and they took them away.
Amen.
And I found one, Brother Ed.
Amen.
I found an old boy, and I mean he was covered from head to foot. And then the next picture showed him, and it was all taken away. It looked like a different person.
Amen.
And right there is where the Holy Ghost spoke to me.
Bless you, Lord.
And the Holy Ghost said, boy, I said, that's the way you looked before you got saved.
Amen.
He said there wasn't no marks on the outside of your body.
Bless him, Father.
But he said he was full of marks. He was full of sin. He was full of sin, he said. And he said, I saw it. The Bible said in Romans, you know what the Bible said about that lost man in Romans? The Bible starts at his mouth. It starts up here, and it ends up at his feet. And he said, his whole body's sin. Oh, God help us. That are criticized and put down. How that poor lost person that hadn't found Jesus yet and has marked up their body. Because they're just a picture of you and me. Of what God's seen. Before we got saved, before the light shined in, before the blood washed it away, before we got that second look, thank God, when the sin's gone, praise God. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad Jesus could take that mark away.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that good? Jesus can take that mark away. You say, how you know that, Brother Rick? He took my mark away.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I'm glad. The Bible said there, Job said, if I sin, he'll mark me. You say, what are you saying tonight, Brother Rick? I'm saying if you're lost tonight, you may not have a mark on the outside of your body. You may be as clean, as white as snow on the outside of your body. But if you're lost tonight, you're marked on the inside. Jesus and only Him can take the life of the Word of God and the blood of the Son of God and wipe them marks away.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, praise God. Thank the Lord for that merciful physician that passed by one day and had mercy on my soul. And he looked down and he saw us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. He was nothing but sin. But now tonight, you're washed in the blood if you're saved. I like Revelations 1 and 5. It said to Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, who hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Walt Ziegler, dear friend of mine, he's in heaven tonight. But oh, Brother Walt, we traveled quite a bit together, going to meetings and camp meetings, and we was traveling one day and we got to talk about that verse. And Brother Rick said, or Brother Walt said, Brother Rick, he said, you know that verse in Revelations 1 and 5, he said, where it says that he washed us from our sins in his own blood. And I said, yes. He said, I was reading that the other day. He said, the Holy Ghost said, Walt, he said, he ain't just washed you in the blood in the sense that your sins are gone. But he said, you ever think about it this way? He washed you into Emmanuel's bloodstream.
Amen.
I tell you, I got chill bumps running up my arms right now. And I didn't have them. He said that. I'm washed in his bloodstream. Praise God. I'm saved tonight by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
They start singing that song tonight about the blood of the Lamb. And I said, thank God tonight. There was a merciful physician that washed me from my sin. Praise God. And I used to look like that guy that I used to put down, that I used to think he was no good. But you know what? The same God that took my mark away can take his mark away. He just needs somebody to care about Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Most of you here tonight, the Lord took your mark away.
Amen.
Again, I say what I said at the beginning. I wasn't preaching on how tattoo was sin. I'm preaching on how it was like sin. And I'm preaching on Jesus can take your mark away. Has He took your mark away? Has He washed your sins away? You say, Brother Rick, I've never been to Him. I pray it costs too much. He'll pay it.
He will.
Jesus paid it all and all in Him all. Sin and left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. Job said, if I sin, He'll mark me. He'll mark me. And if I don't get forgiveness, He'll punish me. He'll punish me. But if I ask Him, John 1 and 1 John 1 and 6, the Bible said, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not the truth.
Amen.
But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to cleanse us of all sin. Mm-hmm. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You say, what are you saying? He can take all the marks.
He
can take all the marks, Lord. Father, I thank You tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Thank You for the Word of God.
Thank You, Father.
I thank You, Lord, for the blood of the dear Lamb of God. Was shed on Calvary's cross, run down the Savior's body, dripped off on the ground, carried up before the throne. That blood, Lord, can wash away every mark tonight. Thank God that there's a merciful physician that made His way through Galilee and Samaria, Judea, Jerusalem, merciful, healing people without charge, making people whole. That same merciful physician tonight is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. And tonight He's still taking away marks. He's still healing lepers tonight. And I pray tonight, God, that You might touch some sinner's heart tonight. And God, You show them a mental picture tonight of the way You see them tonight in Your eyes. And the way that they can be seen if they'll come tonight to the Lord Jesus. Lord, most of the people in this room tonight, like myself, they've done been to the merciful physician. He's already took away the marks. And oh, how our hearts ought to be filled with thankfulness and praise tonight for what God has done for us. I praise You tonight, Lord, and I ask You to help us to be obedient tonight to the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand tonight and let's start the piano player to come.
Leader, come, let's mind God tonight. You need to pray for this revival. Pray for the people, maybe, that You asked to come today. It's not here. Keep praying for them. If you're lost tonight, you come. He's a merciful physician tonight. He'll save you.
Amen.
What He came for to save sinners.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 1:17. Number 1:17.
I surrender all to Thee. Lord, as we begin to look and examine ourselves, Lord, how we see it. Lord, so often and so easily we're tempted to sin. Lord, so easily we give in a lot of times. Lord, we fail. Oh, dear God, we give in. Lord, forgive us for where we sinned against you and failed you in well. I ask you, dear God, tonight, Lord, that you cleanse our hearts. Oh, dear God, the joy will still be there. Oh, Lord, the fellowship, Lord, will still be there. But, oh, dear God, Lord, to know that we're right with you. Help us, dear God, speak to us through the Holy Spirit of God. Let us know, dear God, that it's sin. Convict our hearts of that, Lord. Lord, speak to us. I pray, Lord, tonight for that one that is lost. Nearest him tonight, dear God. Oh, Lord, that the Spirit of God would move upon tonight. Lord, no voice would be heard audibly, but, oh, dear God, in their heart. Oh, Lord, their soul would tremble, their heart would tremble. Oh, Lord, they'd be afraid to go to sleep tonight, dear God, because they heard the voice of God. Oh, Lord, deal with them. I draw them to you tonight, dear God. I let them know that it's you speaking to them. I let them know, dear God, that it's you that's got their number. And, Lord, it's you that see the mark that's upon them. Lord, may they go tonight, Lord, remembering that God's looking at them. Oh, God sees them tonight, Lord. They're all marked up. They can't get it off. They can't wash it away. But if they'll come to you tonight, dear God, you'll cleanse them. Lord, you'll cleanse them and make them white as snow. Oh, Lord, help us as a child of God tonight. Lord, to keep ourselves clean. Lord, to keep our garments spotless. Lord, to keep us, Lord, what you've given us, Lord, the temple of God. Lord, keep it clean tonight before you. Lord, we might be a light and a witness to those that are lost. Lord, again, we love you tonight. Thank you again tonight for the message, for the messenger. Lord, thank you tonight for the privilege of being in the house of God. Lord, one more time on this side of eternity. We thank you. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Well, we're still praying, talking. Wonder tonight if anyone has a word on your heart. Never too late to come to the altar. God's speaking to you. You can still come. Even if we're turning out the light. Still come. Anybody tonight got a praise upon your heart? Word for the Lord.
Dwayne, I thank God tonight for saving everybody to give a message. You know, Lord Jesus, speak to you and show you little things.
Bless you.
A little part in the message.
Yes.
Brother Rick, I was making another point, but it just went home for me. He spoke about being satisfied with what God, where He placed you, what He's given you, what He's doing, so to speak. I mean, any thing to the Word, that's what God showed me. It tells me that maybe we're not satisfied with whatever God's got for us.
Amen.
That's what the Word.
God bless you, brother.
Paul said he learned how to be.
Yeah.
Are we speaking to this? I don't mean the awesome of God done for us, but whatever He's given us,
God bless you.
Wherever He's placed us, it's right. It's right because it's what the Lord did. It's great for me, and I'll be a witness
to God. Bless you, Lord. Amen. Hey.
Sometimes when I drive through town, I see a white van. It says Bergen County Corrections Center on the side of it, and I see 10 or 12 guys out there dressed in orange working.
But
I like to blow them away though, because I'm used to talking to them. And I made friends with a lot of them. Do you know what? Everybody drive by knows what they are. Because of that outfit, they got only know their inmates from the jail. God looks down tonight, honey. He knows you're a sinner. You can't fool God. You can't fool God.
Right.
You stand out. God knows that. And I'm telling you, the devil knows that too. And he knows who he is. He'll keep lying to you, make you think that it's all right. You're going to be all right. You're not going to be all right. Our heart We know inside whether we belong to God.
Right.
If I didn't belong to God, I'd come to God and ask Him to forgive me, make things right. Continue to seek the Lord. And I thank God tonight. Not only are those marked that are in sin that God sees, but God's people are marked.
Yes, we are.
We're marked with the Holy Ghost of God.
Yes,
sealed under the day of
Christ.
I tell you, sometimes I can just see that, oh Lord. It shows up on the outside.
Yes,
sir. It doesn't take long to get around somebody that's got the light upon them and they're salty. And I tell you, they've got the appearance of the Lord upon them. I mean, you just sense that sometimes. I'm telling you. Thank God. Thank God we can get around with people like that. Thank God we can go to the house of God and feel at home with those people like
that.
Amen. I'm glad I'm saved tonight.
Yes.
Oh, I've marked for so long. Thank God God cleansed me.
Amen.
Washed me, made me whole.
Amen.
Anybody got a word of your heart?
Hey, brother, I'd like to thank Lord Bill be here tonight. Got off work 5:30. The time I got home, I didn't even take time to shave. I just barely made it here, but I left the house and it was raining really, really hard, and I couldn't hardly stay on the road, and I wasn't driving fast, and the devil about talked me out of coming. I thought, I'm going to kill somebody or myself. It finally cleaned up a little bit, and I'm glad I got here right on time. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I love preaching. God loves preaching. God said He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That man got over there. Preached one day, and I believed it. God saved me, amen. I'm glad, praise God, thank God for preachers, amen. I didn't like what He said, but He needed it, amen. I'm glad He loved me enough to tell me the truth. He didn't sugarcoat it. He told me I was just a hell-deserving sinner, but He also told me God loved me. I appreciate my pastor tonight. Appreciate being here tonight. Been a good place to be.
I don't know if you remember that. I
wasn't maybe
thinking of it. I've told you here before that going up to Eastern Kentucky to the prisons, and we went up there and spent 3 nights. I remember I was telling you about riding up the road, and the preacher said we needed to have prayer, and the car never stopped when we were running 55, 60 miles an hour, and he was praying. I had Brother Eddie. He said, "We're going to have prayer," and I bowed my head to pray. I thought he was pulling over, and he's praying while we're going up the road. And I was scared to look. I thought, "Lord, he put his head back." He's riding down the road. He was afraid of the storm all the time. Nobody liked Brother anyway. Love him. All right, anybody else? Call that neighbor, call that friend,
yeah.
Call that family member that ain't here tonight. Tell them you miss them. Tell them you ought to come.
Amen.
You never know what God's going to do. They need to be here when He be here. It could be tonight, could be tomorrow night. You never know what God might do.
Hey.
And I'd hate to miss out.
God bless you, by the way.
I really would. How many times I've heard people say, "How'd service go last night?" I said, "That's one of the best ones I've ever been in." I knew I shouldn't have missed.
He's all missed that blood.
That's the one I want to be in.
Hey.
God passes by so strong and He does something to you in your heart and inside. All right. All hearts is clear now. We're going to dismiss. Go home. We're standing with us. Our Father, again, we thank You tonight for the precious word.